That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together, as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements
together
that we will convene to work together on
together
to galvanize global action.
You're going to galvanize global action together. I think Come Together is the song of the day. Well, happy Tuesday to you and welcome. Earlier today, I was singing Tuesday Afternoon. You know, Tuesday Afternoon. But now this is I Fought Authority. Authority always win. And boy, we're living in a nest of insane authority and authorities in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, completely nuts. I'm telling you, and we got a new White House press secretary, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but she is a black, gay, immigrant woman, and that's kind of all that matters. Nothing else counts in today's Democrat land. I've talked about this before, but, you know, the movie Westworld, and then they had, what was the follow-on? There was another one after that with the Westworld. But we should have Democrat world and Republican world, and Republican world would be normal. And Democrat world would be an insane world where everyone cross-dresses, smokes crack, and shoots each other. That'd be a Democrat. We're kind of like Westworld, but Democrat world instead with, you know, robots. And then most of them are already glassy-eyed robots in any event. It's also primary day in the Keystone State. You know how everybody always, when we're talking about politics, they always use, oh, in the land of Lincoln. Oh, in the, yeah, sure. And in the Keystone State, it's the only time at election time that anybody uses the you know, the catchphrases, the license plate tag name for states. But big, get out and vote if you're in Pennsylvania, because big Republican primary there, and it's a kind of a complicated situation. But, you know, politics is a tedious business. It's an awful business. And speaking of which, let's get to these nutcases, because the new, you know, Jen Psaki is gone. Colonel Klebb, as she is commonly known, she from the James Bond movie From Russia with Love, she's headed over to MSDNC, where she's going to do the same thing that she's been doing at the Biden White House, and that is fluffing Joe Biden and the Democrats. That's what they do. Chapstick and, certain sartorial additions may be required. But amazing, she's moving over there. And, you know, Joe Biden, he hasn't done an interview in more than 90 days. More than 90 days. He's only been president for everybody keeps getting this wrong. He's been president for 16 months. I heard somebody this morning say 14 months. I heard somebody yesterday say almost 2 years. I'm like, you know, this is not really tough math. And maybe the whole country has lost the ability to do math. And with that, that brings us to the new White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre, the new White House press secretary, taking over for Jen Psaki. And it is, something to see. Day one, and it's all about, you know, playing the, it's about playing the everything card. The everything card is what it's all about. And, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre, she is married to, she's, in case you didn't know, she's African-American. She's a gay woman, that is to say lesbian, that's the same thing. She's an immigrant to the United States, and she, what is the, and she's a woman, of course. Yeah, I always forget about the, you know, the thing. But her wife is a CNN correspondent, Suzanne Malveaux. It's a very modern world. That's why Thoroughly Modern Millie is doing so well at the Pentagon, you know. But this Karine Jean-Pierre woman took over yesterday, and I've got to say, you know, auspicious beginnings. Not so good. Kind of an amazing story right out of the gate, But she is, you know, a classic Democrat. And look, if she were not, as she self-described yesterday, a black gay immigrant woman, well, that would have greatly reduced the likelihood of her getting the job as White House press secretary, because that's just the thing. And I keep saying, you know, some places say that she's married to Suzanne Malveaux, and that's her wife. Other publications say it's her domestic partner, you know, domestic partner for the thing. She, of course, went to Columbia University in New York. Barack Obama went there for a period of time, and the New York Institute of Technology. Not Harvard, though. It's a little surprising, but Columbia, you know, that's close. But can you say no cigar in this circumstance? Might be. What? Yeah, not to keep Bill Clinton we'll leave it at that. Away from the Oval Office. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday. I saw the tweet. The tweet was sent to me yesterday, and I laughed. I laughed out loud for a couple of reasons. But she announces, because this is all that matters when you're a Democrat. It's, you know, forget the content of your character. Forget your IQ, your innate abilities. Your abilities have nothing to do with anything. Your character, level of integrity, or perhaps absence or lack thereof, have nothing to do with anything. All that matters is, you know, into which identity buckets you can be placed by the Democrat Party. And here with here is, and follow along with me now, because there is a math quiz. There is a math quiz on this. Here is the new White House, Joe Biden, White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, yesterday introducing herself. This is day one of her Monday at the White House with the new press secretary.
I am obviously acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a black gay immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position.
Now, let me just pause on that for a second. I am a black gay immigrant woman. All right. Let's do the count now. Black, one, gay, two, immigrant, three, woman, four. And then she says, I'm the first of all three of those categories to hold this position.
I am a black gay immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position.
Now, I mean, that is, math doesn't get any simpler than that. I can tell you that Jethro Bodine can do his gazintas better than that. Because, you know, one gazinta, two gazinta, three. But when you gazinta four, you know, that's four. That's not three. That's... So she says she doesn't know the difference between three and four, apparently. That's kind of an amazing revelation. It did remind us, and again, and obviously, she says she's acutely aware. Well, obviously, you are acutely aware. Here's the funny thing. The goal, when I was growing up, The whole thing in America, you know, civil rights marches were basically over and all that stuff. And all was right with the world because we all snapped to, and the Democrats even stopped being racists for the most part. But the whole goal was you should be judged on the content of your character, not the color of your skin and who you have sex with. And these are characteristics that were not supposed to matter. We were supposed to live in a world where your race didn't matter, where your sexual orientation or preference, that's taboo, didn't matter, where you're we're the land of immigrants, we welcome immigrants, and you're a woman. My mother, coincidentally, was a woman, and she identified as a woman, she went by her and she and hers, right, as a pronouns, right? And amazing stuff. So I've always loved women. Women are great. They're wonderful. And I don't know where these people grew up. I don't know where the only thing that matters. It's like it's the 1920s, and the progressive Democrat president Woodrow Wilson is you know, having the KKK over to the White House, and they're having the Klan Bake Democratic Convention in New York or something. But, you know, she's obviously acutely aware that she is, what is she? She's four things, which she thinks is only three things.
I am a Black gay immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position.
Yeah, all three. And nobody in the room, a room full of alleged reporters who also all went to Ivy League schools. And it naturally, it reminded us of Joe Biden, because Joe Biden, as you know, his brain is severely broken. She's a broke. She's a no good. That brain of his.
As Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
Now, once again, it's he did it the other way, though. That's a four-letter word, which he described as a three-letter word. And then he spelled it out just for clarity to make sure that we all knew that the three-letter word that he was referencing was actually a four-letter word, because he's Joe Biden. Unbelievable. These are the Democrats. I want to hear Joe Biden, a three-letter word, one more time, because I love it.
As Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
It's a three-letter word. So this is the leadership of the United States of America. And that's, Joe, that's a four-letter word. And Corrine, that's four things you just cited. They're not three. I think they might be beyond helping, however, because that's setting the bar as low as you can set the bar. It also reminded us naturally of James Marshall Hendricks, born 1941, Seattle, Washington, who had a little song about such things. He don't mind. He don't mind. He most definitely doesn't mind. This is the Democrat Party today, and they're in the White House, and I just don't know how to help them. Pretty extraordinary stuff. Very tragic. Very sad. Democrats. This is today's Democrat Party, and this is the new White House press secretary. I think all the White House press secretaries have trouble with numbers. A lot of number trouble from the podium in the White House briefing room. Berserko. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Corrine Jean-Pierre. And we've got more Corrine Jean-Pierre coming up too, because she was asked about Joe Biden's really dumb tweet. And he had a really, which one, you might ask? Can you narrow it down for us? Yeah, he tweeted out that in order to fight inflation, we're going to have to make corporations pay higher taxes, which is a complete economic and intellectual non sequitur. But when you hear Peter Doocy asked Corrine Jean-Pierre about that yesterday, and her answer is similarly breathtaking. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go. And I got crazy news out of Chicago and Joe Biden. And Joe Biden's in Buffalo to racially polarize the country and try to take advantage of a mass murder perpetrated by a self-described leftist who the news media is telling us was a right-winger. All right, let's go to Frank, calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. Frank, you're on the Chris Plante Show.
Thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You bet.
Just to circle back to the three young men in the middle school in Virginia,
yeah,
who were going to face Title IX sexual harassment charges for referring to one of their female classmates as her, as opposed to her preferred pronoun, they.
Uh-huh.
Chris, that sounds to me like a they said story.
Bada boom, rim shot right there. That is funny. I'm gonna take that, Frank. That is a good one. See, it's a little joke. It's a little.
Have a great one. Hey.
Yeah, Frank.
Chris, let me buy you a beer on the region.
All right, I'm in favor of that. I'm always up for an ice cold bottle of Bud Light. When you get to the region, let me know. You know, I'm not kidding. So, you know, I'll have a beer for sure. It's he said, they said, see, because it's not she said. It's a he said, she said. We were talking about this earlier today. Thank you, Frank. And I will look forward to the cool beverage. You were talking about, because, I mean, my joke, if you go by they, their, and them, can you use the HOV lanes? And when you get on an elevator, if the elevator says maximum capacity 6 persons, you're going to have to ask the person with the they, their pronouns, well, how many are you? Because we have to know how many more people can get on the elevator with you. Because if you're 8 people, you're going to have to take the stairwell. I'm sorry. If you're just 3, we can, of course, only get 3 more people on the elevator. Now, I mean, it's just, it defies, you know, what it is they're anti-semantic. These people are, because it's not semantically sound, it's not rationally sound, it's not intellectually sound to refer to yourself in the plural. You know, even Marie Antoinette didn't do that. We're going to have to stop this. This must be stopped. This is for the unwell. And we can't all be called upon to be unwell and then just go along with it. Now, I know I'll humor you to a certain extent, but at some point, we're going to have to stay within the bounds of rationality and sanity. How many people are you? I'm not going to tell you. Well, then you can't get on the elevator. You know that the, thanks, Frank. You know that the, he said, they said. See, he said, they said. The best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier uses proven oxy technology that quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold spores, and a whole lot more. People all over this great nation of ours are raving about how well the thunderstorm freshens the air in their homes. Musty, mildewy smells vanish after just a few seconds. We had the nice lady from the Airbnb with the people smoking pot in there, and the Eden Pure cleared it right up. You know, it's just great stuff. More than 200,000 units already sold. It works like a charm. Mike R. wrote in, Plant endorsed your product, and he was actually telling the truth. What do you mean, actually? It's right in there. That's what he wrote, though. Any odor will disappear when you use the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Odors from litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smokes. Michael Moore, no match for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. No filters to buy and replace again and again. And right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. That's big news. You get 3 units for under $200. Fraction of the cost when you compare to other air purifiers can cost more than $600 each. Put one in every, you know, odoriferous room in your home. A special offer, you're getting 3 units for under $200. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in the discount code Chris3, Chris and the number 3, to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is Chris3 and shipping is free. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we've got more Karine Jean-Pierre. Kind of a rough start yesterday, I think. That's coming up.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Ah, yes. All right, we have more from the White House press conference yesterday coming up, and it's good.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, let's get to the White House press conference yesterday with the brand new press secretary. By the way, the oxymoronically named Obama White House press secretary, Josh Earnest. Now, the communications guy with United Airlines was on the Fox News Channel this morning trying to explain why airfares are up more than 33% over a year ago. Because, you know, it's all government to corporate-y to the whole thing. And Jen Psaki, see, and it's a cozy little circle fest in a hot tub in Washington. Hot tub. Jen Psaki is going to MSNBC, and replacing Jen Psaki is Karine Jean-Pierre, whose wife or domestic partner is CNN reporter Suzanne Malveaux. See what a tight-knit little group it is in Washington, D.C. Pretty kooky, I've got to say. Also, a completely insane story out of Chicago, Illinois today. CBS Chicago has the story. You know, the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightweight, a.k.a. Baby Groot, she has imposed a curfew in the city of Chicago for minors. Well, it's 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. on weekends. And it was imposed because there was a 16-year-old young man who was shot and killed in Millennium Park, where, you know, everybody goes, all the tourists, all the city people. It's a beautiful, wonderful park in the beautiful city of Chicago. And they have the Bean, you know, this giant mirror ball sculpture. It looks like a lima bean. And it's cool. It's a cool thing. And he was shot by there, so it got everybody's attention, you know, whereas normally it wouldn't. They don't really care. Chicago or the national media. But the young man, 16-year-old, that was shot and killed the other day in Millennium Park, named Shondell Holliday. Shondell Holliday. Now, listen to this story from CBS Chicago. Shondell Holliday, 16, had a goal of living to 21, but was fatally shot at Millennium Park. His goal was to live to the ripe old age of 21. But in Democrat-run cities, that's not as easy as it sounds. So he was hoping to live another 5 years, and instead he was murdered because that's so common in Chicago and in so many other big Democrat cities where they demolished the nuclear family, ruined the school system, created the school-to-prison pipeline, open borders for the flow of drugs to come into the country to destroy lives. The mom of a 16-year-old boy who was shot and killed during chaos in Millennium Park Saturday night said he was a very intelligent young man whose life was cut too short. A teen is facing charges of second-degree murder, aggravated battery, aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. In Shondell Holliday's death, she said her son fixed computers and cell phones, part of a large group that gathered at Millennium Park Saturday night. They were told to bring their own drugs and alcohol and stuff. Shondell, a freshman at Gary Comer High School, joined a program to keep young men out of violence last year called Champs Mentoring. And it turned out that his ultimate goal, this was, you know, got to set goals. He wrote down 10 goals. One of those goals was to reach the age of 21. Democrat Party. And Joe Biden is in Buffalo today, Buffalo, New York, because a political radical, murdered 10 people at a grocery store. There he's a racist and a terrorist, and he should have been caught because he's a mental case who had been brought in for mental evaluations, and he's supposed to be on a red flag list, and he wasn't supposed to be able to buy firearms, but he did anyway. And then he went and he murdered all these people, and apparently his parents didn't pay very close attention. But in any case, Joe Biden and Jill Biden are up there, and Joe Biden is going to go up there and use race to polarize the country because the Democrat Party, the party of slavery, believe that that works for them on election day. And unfortunately, to a large extent, it apparently does. All right, now let's go to the audio of Karine Jean-Pierre and the only reporter that covers the White House, and that is Peter Doocy for Fox News. Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre because Joe Biden sent out a tweet, and the tweet is completely irrational. It's just absurd. He said, well, we're going to fight inflation. And in order to fight inflation, you know what has to happen? We're gonna tax corporations more, which is completely unrelated, utterly unrelated to inflation. Nobody would put those two pieces together. But it's quite an amazing suggestion by the president of the United States that by raising taxes on corporations, which will be passed along to the consumers, which will increase the prices of whatever it is the corporations make or provide, that will actually increase inflation, the price of buying things. But Joe Biden honestly is not smart enough to understand that. And so Peter Ducey asked, and he read the tweet that Joe Biden put out to Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday and asked her, how exactly does raising taxes on corporations lower inflation?
President's Twitter account posted the other day, you want to bring down inflation, let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share. Mm-hmm. How does raising taxes on corporations reduce inflation?
Listen to the...
Are you talking about a specific tweet?
I just read it.
You want to bring down inflation, let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share.
Just make sure they pay their fair share, because that's what the tweet says. And when the president tweets something, which he did, like he tweeted, "What you want to bring down inflation? Question mark. Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share." First of all, corporations are not wealthy. You've been writing the tax code since, I was having popsicles, and you've been in Washington forever. Oh, and then today he got the Food and Drug Administration wrong as well, because his brain is totally broken. So he said, let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share. And then Peter Ducey read the tweet from the president, who she speaks for, and she said, are you talking about a specific tweet? Well, I am, the one that I just read to you. And it continued.
Look, we have talked about this past year about
inflation.
Making sure that the wealthiest among us are paying their fair share.
And that's not a corporation.
That is something that, the president has been, working on every day when we talk about inflation and lowering costs. And so it's very important that as we're seeing costs rise, as we're talking about how to, build an America that's safe, that's equal for everyone,
safe.
And doesn't leave anyone behind.
Crime.
That is an important part.
Leave anyone behind
that as well.
That none of that had anything to do with the topic being discussed. Safer, leave no one behind, leave no child behind, raising taxes. But let me see if we can drag you back over here with the hook. The question was about lowering inflation by raising taxes on wealthy corporations when corporations aren't wealthy, and raising taxes on corporations would actually increase inflation because the tax increases would be passed along to us. And that would theoretically and in reality exacerbate inflation rather than the other way around.
But how does raising taxes on corporations lower the cost of gas, the cost of used cars,
starting over again,
food for everyday Americans?
So, look, I think we encourage those
who have
done very well. Right, especially those who care about climate change. To support a fair tax code that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem. If you think about that as an example,
what in the hell are you talking? I think if my let me start with, what the hell are you talking about? And I have a follow-up, because there's those who care about climate change and energy costs, which reminds me of Barack Obama saying under his plan of cap and trade, electricity costs would necessarily skyrocket. And they are, of course. And gas prices, did I mention that gas prices hit yet another world record high in the history of the United States. Gasoline prices have never been as high as they are today. And yesterday was a record high gas price. And today it's even higher because the Democrats. Now, what are you talking about? And leaving no child behind and climate change and babble. She's the Tower of Babel, Peter Ducey, and we're calling her KJP. We've abbreviated her to K, because everybody now has to be reduced to three initials, LBJ and JFK and KJP and ACB and, you know.
How come the president is visiting Buffalo after a senseless tragedy there, but he couldn't visit Waukesha after six were killed and 61 injured in an attack on a Christmas parade there?
I mean, he's visited many communities. I mean, Buffalo, he's able to go tomorrow to Buffalo before the trip. That is something that was important for him to do. But he has visited many other communities. This is not Buffalo is not the first community, sadly, that he has to go up to because of a violent attack. So, you know, that's not the first one. So
yeah, that's not it's not the first one. Yeah, but you notice once again, she didn't address the question at all, just completely avoided the question. And since Joe Biden is in Buffalo, and since she just mentioned all of this, let me just share with you some of the things. I shared some of it with you yesterday, but I have more of it to share with you today. From the communists, leftist, authoritarian, presumably Democrat mass murderer in Buffalo, New York, while the Democrats try to blame the Republican Party and Republican members of Congress and Ron DeSantis and, you know, anybody that just, you know, go loot something, would you? Buffalo shooting suspect's manifesto reveals leftist leanings. This is one of the best in the New American is the name of the website. And they actually got pieces of the manifesto. And R. Court Kirkwood wrote the story and put together the pieces. And good for R. Court Kirkwood. Now, this creep named Gendron, all right? And this is what is supposed to be his manifesto. He said, when I was 12, I was deep into communist ideology. He's 18 now. Talk to anyone from my old high school and ask about me, and you will hear that. From age 15 to 18, however, I consistently moved farther to the right. How far to the right, you might ask? On the political compass, I fall in the mild, moderate, authoritarian left category. And I would prefer to be called a populist. But the key is, he says now he was a communist, 18 years old, used to be a communist. He's all grown up now. Now he's a mild moderate. I think we can scratch that off of his resume. He's not that. Authoritarian left. So he describes himself as being authoritarian left. He then elaborates on his left-wing and pseudo-populist stance. He says, I would prefer to call myself a populist, but you can call me an ethno-nationalist, eco-fascist, national socialist if you want. I wouldn't disagree with you. Now, that is a lot of 18-year-old, not very bright, half-learned the meaning of words. But he does call himself an eco-fascist. That is, you know, an environmental extremist like the Unabomber, who was an environmental extremist, of course, as well. And then he goes on and he's doing a little Q&A with himself. And he says, you know, these he says his views are incompatible with Christianity, right? He described himself as a fascist, not just an eco-fascist, but also a fascist, as a racist, as an anti-Semite, Democrat, check, as a white supremacist, I think the Democrats, you know, giving us the Klan and all these other things. Then he said, he's asked, are you a Christian? Says, no, I do not ask God for salvation by faith. I do not confess my sins to him. He said, I personally believe there is no afterlife. I do, however, believe in and practice many Christian values. Christian values. Well, no evidence of that thus far. Are you a conservative? He was asked. He said, no, conservatism is corporatism in disguise. I want no part of it. All right? So not a conservative, not a, and as an eco-fascist, that's a, are you right-wing? Depending on the definition, sure. Are you left-wing? Depending on the definition, sure. Are you a socialist? Depending on the definition, he said. So where's the guy politically? Well, I can tell you he's not right-wing. He's not conservative. He's a racist. He self-describes as an authoritarian leftist. He said he was until recently a communist. So that puts him in, really, with Eric Swalwell and with Bernie Sanders and with former CIA director John Brennan, voted for the Communist Party candidate. And it doesn't put him in the, you know, Trump category. I've got more on that coming up, too. Hey, have you heard the big news? It's big news. Newsmax just beat CNN in primetime ratings for the first time ever, just over a week ago. Nielsen ratings said more people tuned into Newsmax than to CNN. So people are really watching Newsmax. I watch Newsmax all the time. It's a source that I trust and you can trust. Got great hosts like Rob Finnerty in the morning and John Bachman and Bianca De La Garza at noon Eastern time. And then you can watch Eric Bolling and a whole lot more on weekends. Newsmax has Mike Huckabee, Diamond and Silk, who are just great and hilarious, Dick Morris, Rob Carson, and more. Newsmax is the fastest-growing cable news channel in the United States of America. It's the fourth highest-rated cable network and closing in on CNN. Find Newsmax on all your major cable systems. If your cable system does not carry Newsmax, give them a call and demand it, or switch to a cable service that does carry Newsmax. You can also download the Newsmax app. Get it free on your smartphone. Get it at the App Store. You can watch Newsmax anywhere, anytime. I have it on my Jumbotron at home and my iPad right in front of me. I trust Newsmax, and you should too. Yeah, I've got more from the manifesto. This is not what you're being told by CNN and the Washington Post, that's for sure.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Now, Chuck Schumer was out there yesterday being racially divisive. Joe Biden took Air Force One to Buffalo, New York today to be racially divisive. And they're all going just bat guano crazy over this white replacement theory thing, thinking that I don't know what they're thinking. They're not thinking. They're not thinking people. But it turns out, of course, that the New York Times has been writing furiously, fervently about white replacement theory for years now. And they've been writing about it glowingly and how great it is that white people will become the minority in the United States of America, because white people are the problem. And they've got their white people writing this stuff, and they're really racist and twisted, and white self-loathing is one of their things. And then there's the, they call her Gummy. Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post also has written about this, about now we must, now that she says that the country's becoming more diverse and inclusive and white people will soon be in the minority. And she wrote, this is fabulous news. Now we need to prevent minority white rule. Now, this is the reply. Now, if you talk about it on Fox News, then you're a racist. But if they do, then they're enlightened.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.